The following talk was given by Jed Larson at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on March 15, 2026. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning. As you might notice, we're not in the Zendo right now. Minnesota's having a bit of a snow event. Saw the storm coming on the radar and everything, and it wasn't quite apparent how big the storm would be. It seems like we're maybe somewhere in the middle, which is still a pretty big storm with plenty to come here in the next day or so. I'm in the office right now, so I'm the only one at Dharma Field, and hope everybody's safe at home. For my talk, I wanted to bring in a poem that I remember reading quite a while ago. This is a poem by American poet William Stafford, 20th century poet. This particular poem was written in 1993, and the title of it is The Way It Is. So I'll go ahead and read it here. The way it is. There's a thread you follow. It goes among the things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread, but it's hard for others to see. Tragedies happen. People get hurt and die, and you suffer and get old. Nothing you do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread. So maybe I'll read that again. There's a thread you follow. It goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you're pursuing. You have to explain about the thread, but it's hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen. People get hurt or die, and you suffer and get old. Nothing you do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread. For me, this poem, I think, is a way of talking about never being apart from the reality of experience. It probably can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but that's how it struck me when I came back to it. This thread that Stafford talks about, something that we might try to explain to other people or try to explain to ourselves. It's something that is just not graspable. So at the beginning, Stafford starts out the poem and says, this is a thread that we follow. So even if we're distracted, I think this experience is undeniable. This thread, or what I might rephrase as thusness, is ever present. So regardless of what might be happening, again, even if we're distracted, then we can actually just stop and notice what this is. And in noticing what this is, here this is right now. It really doesn't depend on anything being a certain way or having any certain type of quality. We return to thus just as it is. Stafford says, the life goes on among things that change. Of course, this is our experience. the world of many things arising and ceasing, just this entire fabric of the world as it shows up for us, constantly changing. But he also, he says right after that, but this doesn't change. So maybe a little bit discombobulating to think about this world of change, but this actually does not change. When the Buddha talked about arising and ceasing, he used the phrase, when this arises, that arises. So what seems like in our just everyday experience, it seems like different things are playing their own role. There's these particular elements of experience that are a part of a big collection of everything. But the Buddha was saying, when this arises, that arises. So this is a teaching that helps us understand this entire field of dependent arising. So it could be the appearance of something arising. The Buddha is saying, when that occurs, it is carried along with the entirety of everything. So this arises, that arises. We're not, this experience of reality is not of individuated things playing off of each other. This is a reality of the whole. And that's what I feel when I come across this phrase here by Stafford, that but it doesn't change. So for me, this is the feeling of understanding the whole or thusness. So as things appear to be fluctuating and changing, what is true and what is also called the true self, self is always exactly what it is, even though there's this appearance of change. What's undeniable is this unchanging thusness. It's always ever present. Stafford also says, while you hold it, the thread, you can't get lost. Perhaps we can see this as pointing towards our practice a little bit. So as we hold attention, we are alert, or we hold fast to the truth, then we're right here. This thread is always right here. He says we can't get lost. And perhaps we can think of that as when we resume this awareness, what we recognize is something that is familiar, something that is always familiar to us, this direct experience. Actually, it's always this way. Stafford says, tragedies happen, people get hurt or die, you suffer and get old. Reading this, I was thinking of the story that I think a lot of us have heard, the quest of the Buddha when he was a young man living in his kind of very safe and secure environment with his family and the among the clan there, had everything that he needed. But then he went out and he saw, it says that he saw for the first time, but maybe we could think of it as seeing this and really having it sink in. He saw the dead man, the aged person and the sick person. And here Stafford, I think, is saying something quite similar to that, are dying. And in the story of the Buddha, I think it is a story that helps us understand the urgency of life. Obviously, these things that come up in life for us. But also this story of the Buddha coming across these three people is a story of inevitability. So I think it's a way of picturing or like seeing clearly the parts of life that are inescapable. So sickness, old age, death. And in recognizing that, then we can see a contrast of what our usual activity is, and that is to go after the things that we like and then move away from the things that we dislike. But that story is showing us that no matter how much we try to do that, there's the inevitabilities of life that you know, are showing us that no matter how much we try to negotiate and change things around for ourselves, there's this aspect of the inescapable. And in doing so, I think the Buddha's, or the story, is basically asking us the question about this pursuit of always trying to escape. So it's not necessarily, I think, a story to like depress us or, you know, think about the bad things in life, but it's a way of recognizing this tendency of wanting things to go one way or another. And there's these very strong aspects of our life where no matter what you do, that's not going to work. So it's a way of stepping into a different type of understanding. And that is that the solution to suffering is not going to be on this path of trying to manipulate things. Because for sure, there's many very serious things where that is just not going to work. And actually, the Buddha goes on to say that the alleviation of suffering in any way is not helped by trying to control things. So in the poem here, we get a similar imagery of that. And there's not, it's not only in our life, you know, there's these serious things that come about, but not everything's serious. You know, there can be all kinds of different ups and downs and, you know, different turbulence of different kinds, annoyances. I was remembering, if I don't know if you know the names, Frank and Estelle Costanza. That image came to mind, an episode. This one was George Costanza was at home, and like the ultimate, if you ever like watch those scenes, it's kind of like what humans are capable of, like creating the most turbulence out of nothing, basically. And Frank Costanza was just like screaming at his wife, "Why do you have to put the bananas in the jello?" And the wife is yelling back, "You said you like the bananas." And then, you know, it's like you see that, and George is in the room too, and you're kind of like thinking, okay, this is why George turned out the way he is, you know, if you had parents like that. So you kind of feel for George a little bit in that scene. But, yeah, the ups and downs can kind of come from nowhere, come from the smallest thing. It's pretty comical in a lot of ways, our human journey. And of course, the nice things in life too, you know, a peaceful day with sunshine. And even then, the question is, can we hold them? You know, can we hold that? Can we have that and keep that experience? This sort of slowing down a little bit and reflecting on keeping and holding something, you know, those good things. I think that's almost one of the most compelling ways of understanding our sense of permanence. Because I think oftentimes we can think about permanence and it sounds pretty philosophical, and we actually sort of disagree with the notion that we think of things as permanent. Because then we'll say, oh yeah, I sort of admit that things are changing. I don't really think they're permanent. But when we have, you know, something nice that happens and we want to keep that or hold that, then I think it's fairly clear that we've, you know, sort of packaged this thing into, you know, a very defined frame. So you can see how the mind in a case like that solidifies what that is. And it's something that's very natural, normal that we all do. So in the moments of enjoyment or the moments of difficulty where we package that thing up and we want it to exit somehow, I think maybe we can see a little bit clearer that sense of permanent, that permanent thing that we want out of the picture. And it's not to scold ourselves in any way, but just to notice how the mind works in that way, that it actually packages things up. And all we have to do is just notice that and be kind in, you know, just understanding how the mind works. In doing so, we can see how those beliefs sort of formulate and how, you know, we'll end up thinking about something and then we'll kind of keep thinking about it. It'll come up again and again. May not really notice why that's happening, but essentially that's the basis of why we become kind of in like a cyclical thinking situation, or we become drawn into thinking about something. So getting thing is actually a misnomer. It's sort of like thinking that, you know, if we breathe in, like if we want to breathe in is like to take in the entire atmosphere. But all we have to do is just take a breath. Stafford says, you don't ever let go of the thread. This is how he concludes the poem. And here, again, the way I was experiencing this poem is that this is a poem about never being apart from the reality of experience. So he says, you don't ever let go of the thread, because that's not possible. It's the reality of experience. It can be nothing other than just this. There's a part in the middle of the poem that actually I was thinking about a topic for this talk, which related to these lines right in the middle. So I'll go into that just a little bit here. The lines are, people wonder about what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread, but it's hard for others to see. So this was aligned with the topic that I was thinking about for the talk today. So I'll just talk a little bit about that. Yeah, I think some of us have had the experience being out in nature, and maybe you're just lying down on the ground and you look down and you see an insect, and it's, you know, every once in a while you come across an insect that's just like, it looks like it's from another planet. There's pincers and like a shell and antennae and unusual shape, and then like all of a sudden wings appear out of it, and it's just like, what is going on here? And you know, that experience, at least for me, it's like you're paying very close attention, and there's this feeling of like you know, what is this? Really enraptured by what you're looking at. You're looking at every detail. And this is before we ask the question, you know, what is it? What's the name of this? Is this a common bug or whatever? And this question of what is it is that we would commonly have is different than the what is it of Zen. So the what is it of Zen is similar to we hear about phrases like beginner's mind or Katagiri said, here it is, what is it? As two statements that are very much intertwined with each other. So this what is it of Zen in Stafford talks about the thread. People ask about it, but it's hard for others to see. So this is the truth of what is actually ungraspable, the ungraspable reality. This is this what is it is actually a freedom from needing to explain something. Or if explaining happens, then we just recognize what that is. But it's what is it without a question mark, in a sense. It's the freedom from trying to conclude something. So this just what it is unfathomable. The phrase that came up recently, notice what is occurring. It's sort of interesting. If you look at the term what in that sentence, notice what is occurring, you can almost see that what we're noticing actually that what is occurring. So this is like the what of Zen. What as in that which is. So this is, I think, related to Stafford's The Thread as well. Just that which is. And the Buddha had a, I have the phrase here. Type this out. If I can remember it off the top of my head, he said, this is not mine. This I am not. This is not me. And I think this is a helpful teaching as well. So often we think of experience as me, inside versus outside. So me and then that insect, you know, what is that? But here, the Buddha also has a teaching that helps us understand that the practice is to actually come back to experience. And coming back to experience is actually, experience itself does not have the quality of inside or outside. Self and other, object, subject. So the Buddha is saying, this is not me, this I am not, and I'm not. So anything, again, kind of that thing that we think we can keep or hold, that is not the picture that's showing up, actually. So this is, this what also, and I think it's a deep tradition that goes back to Japan and China. You see it in different forms like non-doing or non-knowing. And it's, I think, just a very profound and gentle type of teaching where we can just allow experience without any notion of inside or outside. It's more like resting in awareness. So the different framework that comes up for how we think things are happening, we can set that all aside. So we resume this awareness just with the simplicity of the inhale or the exhale. Just awareness is right here already. So fairly short talk here. I don't know if I have too much else. It's kind of a snow day, so I thought I'd keep it a little bit short. I'm not sure if I'll try to go out and ski or something, but there's definitely plenty of snow. Hopefully it sticks around for a little bit. I kind of like when it hangs around a little bit so I can enjoy it. I'm pretty sure our dog will be loving it. She bounds through the snowdrifts. So yeah, if you got any questions, comments, or anything, feel free to chime in. Yeah, Kate, you have a question or
I just wondered if you could maybe read the poem one more time. I really appreciated it, and I would love to hear it one more time.
By William Stafford, written in August of 1993. The way it is. There's a thread you follow. It goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you're pursuing. You have to explain about the thread, but it's hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen. People get hurt or die, and you suffer and get old. Nothing you do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread. Thanks, Kate. That helps maybe close the loop a little bit there for what I've been talking about, to hear that again.
Thank you.
Sure. Somebody presented a short series on William Stafford, I think, Warren Lang, many years ago, here at Dharma Field. All right. If you don't have anything, we'll call it a day. Oh, is that a wave goodbye, or Catherine, you got a question? Are you muted?
There.
Okay.
When you were talking about the Buddha said, this is not mine, this I am not. And then you were talking about the inside and the outside. And then you started to say this what, because you were talking about, my notes are, me versus the outside, inside, outside, and this what, and you kind of broke off and went into a non-doing and non-knowing. And I kind of thought there was more to this what, like a part of an explanation. And I kind of felt like, what did you mean by that little phrase?
Sure. I actually found it here. I think I got it right then. This is not mine. This I am not. Mm-hmm. This is not myself. And thanks for asking the question. It probably is worth a little more elaboration there, at least for how I was feeling about it. This what that we're investigating here, not the what that concludes in some sort of answer, but the what of openness. And for me, the link with the Buddha's teaching about this is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself, is perhaps related here in a way that the normal way we think of experience, or we explain what this is, what that is very much oriented to a sense of my understanding of that out there. It's almost another way of talking about keeping and holding. So the usual way of asking, what is this, is, I think, has kind of like an energy of capturing something, you know, of taking, keeping, and holding something. So the Buddha's, and arguably his most subtle teaching of the anatta doctrine of not self. This teaching here is it's kind of taking it from several different angles of refuting that we are going to capture something, that it is mine, even a thought. You know, is the thought that arises and ceases, is that yours? What evidence of experience itself shows that that is a possession in any way? And the Buddha is saying that this is not mine. It's not mine. It does not create an identity. This I am not. This is not myself. So this what that Zen brings to us, or not knowing, not doing, is similar, is the freedom from capturing. It's actually allowing awareness to be what it is of its own accord. So thanks for that question. It's I have been reading the Pali Canon somewhat recently, in these different tendrils of the teachings weave together in different ways. So, you know, this teaching of what is it is probably kind of a newer teaching, but it just seamlessly falls into the fabric of most ancient teachings as well. So for me, it's pretty enjoyable to see how it's, you know, just wafts together in different ways. Oh, almost like poetry, and you know? I'm sure other people would read this poem differently than I do. That's really the beauty of poetry and the beauty of life too. You could be walking down the street and having a much different experience than the person right next to you, and then you turn around and walk the same territory, and you both have a very different experience of what you had on the way out there. The beauty of the relative world is what we wake up to. We wake up that it's not something that we can keep and hold. Anything else at all? All right, that's it. Hopefully people don't remember to use your knees when you shovel. Don't use your back.
Well, thanks, Jed.
Thanks, Andrew, and everybody. Have a good day. We'll see you a little later.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.